You can sometimes tell quite a bit about somebody from their last words. I wonder how many of you have seen the film The Greatest Showman? Some of you, most of you, the entire youth group, I know that. The Greatest Showman's about somebody called P.T. Barnum. If you haven't seen it, he was a circus guy, I guess. He ran a circus. But P.T. Barnum's actual last words were this. The real P.T. Barnum, not in the film. His actual last words were, "How were the receipts today in Madison Square Garden?" His very last thought was basically, "Did I make another pile of money today?" As though that mattered. I quite like the last words of a Spanish general called Ramon Maria Navarez. When he was lying on his deathbed, somebody suggested to him that maybe he should make peace by forgiving all of his enemies. And his final words were, "I do not need to forgive my enemies. I have had them all shot." Or an American general, somebody called John Sedgwick, whose final words were, "Nonsense, they couldn't hit an elephant at this distance." The final words of Jesus, the Son of God, were simply this: "It is finished. It is finished." And that wasn't some kind of melodramatic speech with his sort of last gasp of breath, "I am finished." That was something quite different. It was more like, you know, if you've been working on a project or a piece of homework or some big thing that's taken lots of time and lots of effort over a long time, and you finally put the last pieces in place, and as you do it, you say, "It's finished. I've done it." It's a kind of a victory cry, which is a bizarre thing if you think about it, because there was Jesus on the cross, dying the most brutal, painful death that the Romans had been able to dream up, and the Romans were pretty good at making people dead and doing it in creative, nasty ways, and this was the worst way they had, and there he was, and with his final breath, he's saying, "I've done it. I've done what I came to do." And to understand that, we need to understand what it was that Jesus came to do. God's intention has always been to have relationship with the people that he created. His entire personality is love. And he made us so he could love us and so that we could love him back. He made us for relationship. But human beings have never been able to live up to the high position that God gave us. We are selfish. We're dishonest. We're greedy. We're shallow. If we're honest with ourselves, we cannot live up, even to our own standards, for what's good and right. And certainly not to God's standards for what's good and right. And all of that puts distance between us and God. All of that puts a barrier, like a blockade, between us and God, which was the very last thing that God ever wanted, the exact opposite of what God intended. And so God made a plan, and he transformed himself into one of us, and his son was born as a human being, just like you and me, and of course that person was Jesus. And he came here to mend that bridge between us and God, to take that distance that we had put between us and God and to take it away. But mending that bridge was going to cost him everything. We, as a family, we went on holiday this last July. It was something that we'd been looking forward to for quite a long time. What most of you don't know is that less than 3 days before we went on holiday in July, Astrid got arrested. I know, right? The minister and everything. It was Friday afternoon, and I was in the office here working and trying to get everything straight and sorted out, ready for going on holiday, as you do. And I got a phone call from Astrid, and she was clearly a little upset. And she said, "I've been stopped by the police, and they're going to take the car away." And I was possibly just a tiny bit too smug when I said, "How fast were you driving?" And she said, "No, no, it's not that at all. It wasn't me. You didn't pay the road tax." "And not only that, but you forgot to sort out the MOT. You know that feeling that you get in your stomach when you desperately, desperately want something to not be true, but deep down you know that it is absolutely true?" And so I went running round there as fast as I could. She was up on Burswellham Road, I think it was. And when I got there, the policeman was still there. Astrid had gone, which was probably a good thing, but the policeman was still there, and our car was still there. And I desperately tried to explain myself, and I explained that it had been a complete mistake. I hadn't meant to not pay the tax and not sort out the MOT. I'd just forgotten, and couldn't he just be nice? And he explained that it didn't matter. We'd done something wrong, and there was a price that had to be paid. And I told him that I was really, really sorry. Like, really sorry. It will never happen again. And he said, "It makes no difference. You've done something wrong, and there's a price that has to be paid." And I told him, I promised him with all my heart that I would never, ever, ever do it again, ever. And he said, "It makes no difference. You've broken the law, and there's a price that has to be paid." And a few weeks later, Astrid got a letter through the post that said, from a legal department somewhere, said, "Dear Mrs. Vaswani, you failed to pay your car tax, you failed to get an MOT before driving your car, and there's a fine of £150 and then some that you have to pay. I messed up, and there was a price to pay. And even though I apologised, and even though I swore I would never do it again, and I sorted out the tax that very day, I absolutely did, but despite all of that, there was a price that had to be paid. But here's the thing. I didn't pay it. Your community minister has got a criminal record that says driving without tax and MOT, and it was me that did it. She paid the price for my sin, in that instance, quite literally. When Jesus, who is the only human being who has ever lived without doing anything wrong, when he was put to death, every wrong thing I have ever done was absorbed into him. Every wrong thought that I should never have thought, that I should never have let cross my mind, and instead of letting it cross my mind, I dwelt on it, was absorbed into him. Every unkind and hurtful and damaging word that I've spoken, even if I've regretted it afterwards, that has hurt somebody else, was absorbed into him. And when Jesus died, all of that stuff died with him. And it left me, and it left you too, if you accept it, innocent in God's sight. Because that's what forgiveness means. And that's what forgiveness cost Jesus. In Isaiah in the Old Testament, somebody who wrote hundreds of years before Jesus, but wrote about Jesus, he said this: "The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we have been healed." Now, Astrid didn't exactly choose to take my punishment that day, although she probably responded rather more graciously than I deserved. But when Jesus did it, he chose to take our punishment. He chose to take all the things that we do wrong and to take them into himself so they would die with him. In the New Testament, in the book of Romans, it says this: "The payment for sin is death, but God gives us the free gift of life forever in Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's what Jesus came to do. That's what it was that he'd finished. That's what it was that when he was on the cross and said, "It is done," that's what it was that he had done. He had taken all of that stuff from you and from me and from Lana and from Kim, and he'd taken it into himself, and it had died with him. And that's what he offers to you and to me. But we have to choose to accept it. We have to decide to place our faith in Jesus and to accept what he's done for us. And that's what Kim and Lana have told us about today. That's what they have both done. God has offered them this gift, and they've said, "Yes, please. I want that for myself." And they've both started an entirely new life with Jesus at the centre of it because they've accepted that gift. On August the 16th, 1987, about 9:15 in the evening, Northwest Airlines Flight 255 took off from Detroit in America to make the journey to Phoenix, Arizona. And on that flight, there were 149 passengers and there were 6 flight crew. The pilot and the first officer were both well experienced. They knew what they were doing. Everything should have gone absolutely smoothly. But very, very shortly after takeoff, it became clear that something was horribly, horribly wrong. And the plane started to roll from side to side. And as it rolled, one of the wing ends caught a lighting pole on the ground. And very quickly after that, the pilot lost control completely. And just a few moments later, the flight, very sadly, crash-landed onto a highway. And everybody on that flight was killed, except one person. And the name of that one person was Cecilia. She was a 4-year-old girl. And they believe that the reason she survived when nobody else on that flight survived was that her mum, in the last moments of the flight, unbuckled her own seatbelt and knelt down in front of her daughter and put her arms around her, knowing that her body would protect her daughter from the impact that was about to come. Her mum gave her life so that her daughter could live. And that is what Jesus has done for every single one of us. He chose it. He did it willingly. He did it because he wants us to have that freedom and that life to the full. And Kim and Lana stood up here this morning to say that they've discovered that that's exactly what Jesus has done for them. He died to offer them a life of complete forgiveness. He died to offer them a life of complete, unbroken friendship with God, nothing between them and God. He died to offer them a life lived to the very, very full. And each one of them has said, "Yes, please. That's what I want. Yes, please. I want to accept that free gift that you're giving me." And his offer to you is exactly the same. His offer to you is exactly the same. May you choose to accept it in the way that Kim and Lana have. I'm going to pray in just a moment, and I'm going to ask you to pray with me, not by joining in out loud, but just to join in your hearts as I pray. We have a simple belief here that coming to church isn't a ritual that we go through. We believe here that coming to church is about allowing God to reach into our lives and to speak to us, and to challenge us, and to change us. And so, you guys aren't an audience. We are all here to meet with God. And as I pray, I want to give you the opportunity to respond. Not to me, but to God. If God has spoken to you in any way during the service this morning, if God's spoken to you through the stories of these two ladies who have had their lives turned around, if God's spoken to you through the songs or through any of the things that I've said, then I want to give you the opportunity to respond to him. And there's no pressure, there's no hype. Nobody else is going to know. And we certainly don't want anyone to respond if it isn't coming from knowing that God has spoken to you. But if he has, we need to take it seriously. And so we want to give you a moment and an opportunity to respond. And we're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to do anything weird at all, I promise. But it's your opportunity. If God's been speaking to you, it's your opportunity to say, yes, I've heard, and I'm going to respond to that. So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, if you would. And I want to pray, and I want to give three groups of people the opportunity to respond. It might be that you have heard Lana's and Kim's stories, and you want that new life for yourself. Maybe you've been thinking about this for a while, and you've got to a point where you know that Jesus is real. You know that Jesus died for you, so you could have that full life. And it may be that today you've reached the point that you want to say, yes, that is what I want. And if that's you, I'm just going to ask you, while everyone's got their eyes closed, would you just raise a hand quietly? And if that's you, I'm going to say a prayer and just quietly say amen at the end. If that's a prayer you want to say for the first time, or if you want to renew it before God today. Lord Jesus, thank you that you love me. And thank you that you were prepared to go to such lengths to rebuild the bridge between me and God. I believe that you died for me and that I can now be free. And I choose to follow you and to give my life to you. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit and teach me to live your way. Amen. And if you've just prayed that prayer, you've made the best decision you'll ever make in your life. And I'd encourage you to come and have a chat to Astrid or myself afterwards, because we'd love to talk to you a bit more. But please keep your eyes closed. I want to give two other groups of people an opportunity to respond. It may be that some of the things that you've heard today have just sparked a load of questions. And you're not ready to say yes. You're not ready to say I'm in. But at the same time, you know you want to find out more. And we're going to be doing something after Christmas. It may be an Alpha course. It may be something similar. But it's going to be an opportunity to find out more, to explore what faith and what Jesus is all about. And to explore why it is there's a room full of people here that would say, I've given my life to Jesus and I've never looked back. And if that's you, if you want to find out more, again, I'm just going to ask you to quietly put a hand up. Nobody's looking. But it's helpful to us to know that we've responded to what God's been saying. Thank you. And finally, it may be that you're already a Christian. You've been following Jesus for a while. And as you've been part of the service today, God's been tapping you on the shoulder and saying, isn't it about time you got baptized? And I want to give you the opportunity to respond as well. And if that's you, again, with everybody's got their eyes closed, would you just put a hand up and have a chat with us? Thank you. Have a chat with us afterwards if you've just put your hand up, either Astrid or myself, and we'll work out when we do that. Father God, thank you for everything we have celebrated this morning. Thank you for your wonderful love for us that stopped at nothing, to bring us back to you when we put that huge gap between us and you. Thank you that Jesus gave everything and that he now offers us that invitation, complete forgiveness, life to the full, life lived in relationship with the God who knows us and who loves us. Thank you that you've made that gift available for free to every one of us. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.